Welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles. I'm Scott Wright of The Oklahoman, joined by columnist Barry Trammell. Coming at you with a little preview of Oklahoma State's spring half scrimmage, half practice is what Mike Gundy called it on Wednesday. We'll get into a little bit of the details of that and let you know what we're curious about, what you might get to see on Saturday at 1 p.m. inside Boone Pickens Stadium. Barry, first of all, what can you really tell from whether it's a game, a scrimmage, a practice? What can you learn in spring?
Well, I don't learn much outside of the pitch and catch nature of football from spring games. I never hardly ever see a practice, but I can learn if the quarterbacks are accurate, can the guys catch the ball in a game situation, or maybe even a 7-on-7. You can figure out if the DBs can hang with them and mm-hmm. provide, you know, some coverage. That's about it.
Yeah.
You never know how much physicality is allowed.
Right.
You know, you don't know if they're going all out in the trenches. Sometimes they are, but sometimes they're not. So anything besides just the delivery of the football is, to me, is sketchy for, you know, civilian eyes.
Right.
But that but the pitch and catch, we can tell. We can tell if a ball's delivered on target. We can tell if it's caught. We can tell if it's covered. So those, to me, are the primary things I sort of focus on, because, you know, whether the linebackers are making plays, who knows? Whether right. the offensive line's getting, you know, the defensive end kicked out, who knows? But, you know, so the ball and where it goes and how it gets there, to me, is even more paramount in spring than when I'm watching a ball game in September.
One thing you mentioned, the offensive and defensive lines, the physicality. I do expect to see them being pretty physical. It has been all spring from what we've heard.
Why do you think is that different, you think?
I think so. I think part of it is on the offensive line. I think Charlie Dickey is trying to establish the type of mindset that he wants. He doesn't want he's known for having physical and tough offensive lines, and he's trying to establish that right off the bat as the new offensive line coach. On the defensive line, it's all new guys, and they're pushing these guys to get them ready for what's ahead in the fall. So so they've been really going all out in competing, based on what we've been told. I've seen 20 minutes of practice, and half of it was special teams drills. So I'm not inside for any of this, but based on what we've been told, they've really been going all out in their offensive and defensive line periods when it's just those guys. And we'll have some of that. That's one of the things they call it, inside drill. That's just the guys in the box on both sides. We'll have some of that as part of this spring scrimmage / practice on Saturday at 1. We'll have some 7-on-7. We'll have some special teams stuff. Mike Gundy said he scheduled in about 7 minutes of punting, so we get to watch Tom Hutton.
Well, that'll be fun.
It will be. It's going to be really fascinating to see.
I'd rather talk to him than watch him punt, but I'll take what I can get.
Take what you get. We'll have some 1-on-1 drills, which could be interesting between the receivers and DBs, because those guys have been getting pretty physical at times as well this spring from what we've been told. So I'm really curious to see, one, what this all looks like, and two, how the fans receive it, because it's going to be a different look than what they've ever gotten. There are probably going to be some parts of it that fans feel is a little bit boring, but there's going to be, I think, some interesting stuff. I think you're going to get to see, if you're a big Tylan Wallace fan, you're going to get to see the ball thrown his way more than you would if this was a game scenario where he might catch four passes. So, I think that there are pluses and minuses in what Mike Gundy is doing. But in general, I think it's going to be – I think it has a chance to be entertaining. I'll say that.
Well, my general – seemed like OSU did this 8-10 years ago. Excuse me. 8-10 years ago, a year when their numbers were down, some guys were hurt, and Gundy didn't want to take the risk of scrimmaging. But my general impression is the fans – the hardcore football people are going to sort of enjoy it.
Yeah.
the sort of moderate football fans who just like OSU football and enjoy the game but don't really care who's playing left tackle won't enjoy it.
Yeah.
And even in the media, that's split. There's some of us that are hardcore people and some who are not. I actually consider myself not. You know, I don't know why a football play works. I have no idea.
Right.
I just know whether it does or not.
Yeah.
So I can't see myself enjoying it very much. But there's some in the media that's going to really like it. So we'll see how it goes. But any chance you get to see, especially in a year when the quarterback is up in the air, you know, if you did this in a year when Mason Rudolph's coming back.
Right.
You know, what difference it make.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting to watch those quarterbacks will be a treat.
I'll say this. I think that this scenario will have more value to even the moderate fan than what they ran out last year in spring. When
I don't
was,
remember what happened
it
last
was,
year.
It was
help me out.
Almost essentially ones versus twos on both sides. They only had two quarterbacks. John Kolar was the starting quarterback on one side. The first team basically dominated everything, and it wasn't a whole lot of fun to watch. It got uncomfortable at some points that it was they were struggling so bad with things like center snaps were between the second team center and John Kolar were tough and things like that. So I think that this will have more value than that did. Now, if it was, if they had, say, the offensive and defensive line depth to put two units together and go out there with Spencer Sanders on one side and Drew Brown on the other, I think this could be a fascinating spring game.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be fun. Let me ask you, your impression, not your impression, your guess with the quarterback situation. What are we going to see? Are they going to be treated as equals on Saturday?
Absolutely. I think 100%. They're going to be – I think if you count the number of snaps they take and then the number of throws that they make, it's going to be as close to 50-50 as it can possibly be. That's my best guess. It sounds like that's how they've treated them all spring, and I don't see any reason that's going to change right now. If that begins to change, I would say it's mid-August at the earliest.
Well, what's your impression? What are you hearing? And who's looked better? What's going on with Drew Brown and Spencer Sanders?
Mostly. From the players, from the offensive coordinator Sean Gleason, and from what Mike Gundy has given us, I mentioned this in a video this week. You ask a question about one guy, you get an answer about both guys. You say, how's Spencer Sanders doing in this area? Both guys are doing really good with that. It's that type of thing. So it's really hard to get any type of information. Spencer Sanders, I think that people are seeing the upside that he has. I think Drew Brown is what he is at this point in his career, a fifth year senior who's been a little bit of a journeyman in what he has done. I think that you know what he is at this point, and Spencer Sanders is a little bit more raw and able to be molded and still learning and growing and developing. So you know that there's more upside with the young guy in this situation, but I've said this all along, they've got to have Drew Brown on campus. That's why you're not going to have any kind of decision made before I've been pinpointing August 23rd. That's the date that I've determined is when we're going to find out who the starting quarterback is for the Oregon State game. They've got to have Drew Brown on campus. If Spencer Sanders is your guy, let's say you've got a starting quarterback who is who likes to run the ball, who has torn his ACL twice in high school, you need a quality backup, and Brennan Costello is the third string guy right now, and he should be back in California getting ready for prom right now. So early enrollee who is has looked good from all accounts for a high school kid, but not the guy that you want to be one snap away from taking over this offense at some point, in say late September when you're at Texas. So I think this is a battle that's going to continue well on into August before we know. But I think that my leaning continues to be Spencer Sanders as the guy.
You told me you hear good things about Costello.
Yeah. Mike Gundy spoke about him earlier this week and spoke very highly of him. He's a guy that's sort of cut out of the similar mold of Spencer Sanders. I don't know that he's quite as athletic, but he can run the ball well, throws the ball well. He comes from same school that produced Sam Darnold and another USC quarterback whose name is slipping my mind at the moment, but a place that has put out a lot of good quarterbacks. He's originally from New England. He's a, he hates the California quarterback stereotype that the guys are soft, because he grew up playing football in the snow and 30 degree temperatures and things like that. So, he is a talented guy, a smart guy. I don't think he's ready to throw himself into this competition right now. But
are we going to get to see quite a bit out of him Saturday?
I would think we'll see a decent amount. I mean, obviously the focus is going to be Brown and Sanders, but I do think we'll get to see some Brennan Costello, and that will be fun to watch to see where exactly he stands right now.
Well, all right, full scale scrimmaging. We're not going to see much, or we'll see a little. What are we going to see?
36 plays scripted, and then a 2-minute drill, which is probably more reactive into the situations and the play calls than the scripted portion will be. So that'll be really the kind of the meat and potatoes of what we get to see. Hour and a half total, but yeah, the 36 play scrimmage and then the 2-minute drill. Portion, which we didn't get a length of time or a number of snaps on that, but yeah, so we'll get to see a good portion of some scrimmage action of 11-on-11, but obviously not the entire day.
Who's not going to be available Saturday?
The only significant player that we've been told will not be playing is Devin Harper, the linebacker, who is, I think, by fall could have a chance to work his way into a starting spot. They've got to figure out what they want to do at middle linebacker. They've got obviously they like to rotate in at Calvin Bundage's spot as well to keep him fresh. So. Harper is a guy who's going to be involved in the fall, but he's had a foot injury that has kept him out all spring. Eamon Ogbong-Bamiga has been the guy in the middle who's really been stepping up, and then Kevin Henry is a guy who can play both linebacker spots and will be there. But as far as we have been told, the only player of significance that won't be playing is Devin Harper.
Well, that'll be good. We need to start. I need to start familiarizing myself with these new D linemen because,
right?
I mean, it's a completely new group. Lost all those guys that played for so long: Owens, Brailford, Walter Scheid, Trey Carter, Darren Daniels, Enoch Smith. Who do we look for out of that crew? Antoine, of course. I know about. Who else is? Who are the guys I need to look for?
The guy that's been getting I'll toss out a few names. One guy who's been getting a lot of talk this spring is Brock Martin, the defensive end who was one of the backups to Brailford. He's playing that same position where they'll do some things to move him around and get him in playmaking situations, whether he's in a linebacker type of spot, even middle linebacker, out on the edge, standing up, hand in the ground, whatever it might be. So he's a guy that as sort of established himself as a little bit of a leader up front. Brendan Evers on the defensive tackle is a guy who has made some strides going into his redshirt sophomore year now. And is really showing some signs of improvement. You know, Mike Scott is a different kind of guy at defensive end. He's at that same spot with Brock Martin, but he's a little bit more specialized, being 6'5" and 240, really kind of skinny for a defensive end.
Of a speed rusher type
yeah,
guy.
He's more of a speed guy. So that will be an interesting one to watch how they use those two guys, because they're really not going to be on the field at the same time very much. You have Tyler Lacy probably starting at that other defensive end spot with the first team. So, but yeah, Israel Antoine, who you mentioned, now that they know that he's eligible, that's a huge boost for them, and we're going to see how they try to use him, mix him in with the guys that they've got, including Antoine and Sione Asi, the junior college transfer who is, he went on a Mormon mission right out of high school, then went to junior college. So he's 23 years old now as a junior. So he's a little bit more physically developed, 6'1", 300 pounds, and prepared to step into the situation that he's facing on the interior of the defensive line. So that gives them behind Evers and Cameron Murray, four guys who are more developed at the defensive tackle spot. Defensive end still a little thin. They're really going to need Kyle Jr., the Bowling Green grad transfer, who won't be here till the summer, to come in and give them some help there.
I really enjoyed your story on Jr.
Thank you.
I had no idea that was EJ Jr.'s son. So
yeah.
I thought that was very interesting. He was a heck of a player back in the day, EJ Jr.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. It was funny. Kyle was telling me a story. Obviously, the meeting with President Hargis was, number one, really smart by OSU, whoever it was that came up with that to set that up. Number two, it was one of the biggest things in swaying Kyle Jr. to Oklahoma State. But he was telling me the story about that meeting, and he said that Burns Hargis was talking to his dad, and he just said it's not every day that I get to come down here and hang out with a star, and EJ didn't seem to know what he was referring to, and he said, I'm talking about you. He said, I know who you are. You played 13 years in the NFL and all of that. So pretty interesting stuff. The one fact I didn't get to find out, now EJ Jr. is EJ Jr. the third. So I don't know if his dad is EJ Jr. Jr. or EJ Jr. the second. I wanted to find that out.
Jr. would be cool.
That would be a lot of fun. But anyway, yeah. So that's a big addition coming in the summer for this defensive line.
What are we going to see out of the tailbacks on Saturday?
I don't know that we'll see a ton.
Not a big contribution there. From Hubbard and from. Is LD Brown?
I would say LD Brown is the is your second team guy. Jameel Jeter probably third.
Okay,
and then Desmond Jackson, the junior college transfer. He'd been dealing with a hamstring injury, but was back out on the field in Wednesday's practice at full health. He will be a guy that might get involved some, and they want to see what they've got in him in the setting with some fans in the stands and that sort of thing. He's a guy who physically looks like he's definitely prepared for what's ahead. He's I think they list him at 6 feet tall and 210 pounds. He doesn't look quite that tall, but big thick arms and legs and looks. Looks the part of a college running back for sure at this point. So, Chuba Hubbard especially, I don't expect to see a ton out of him. He had the knee cleaned up in the off season. They don't want to risk getting him hurt, furthering any injuries there. So I wouldn't expect to see a lot from him. But those other guys will probably get involved some. And that's one of those things you just never know when you start talking about physicality and tackling and those sorts of things. How much is just wrapping a guy up and stopping him as opposed to fully going after taking him down. So I wouldn't expect a ton of really physical running from the running backs or tackling on them. So we'll see what kind of level they get to in those sorts of things. But from all indications, I don't expect a ton.
The O line really ought to be a team strength. Am I right about that?
I think
got three
so.
Starters returning. with Wilson, Jenkins, and Marcus Keys.
Yeah.
So
Dylan Galloway started half the year. They're in the market for a graduate transfer as well. A guy from Tennessee who could come in and be a tackle prospect. So I think that definitely the interior of the line is really strong. Jenkins, I think, might be their best offensive lineman overall at the right tackle position. He's the type of guy that would be your left tackle. He's just he's always played on the right side coming up in high school, and his footwork is so much better from what I've been told, because I can't break that down myself, but talking to people who know better than me, his footwork and his comfort level on the right side is so much higher than on the left. But we saw times last year when guys were hurt and he had to move over to the left side, and he did just fine. But I think he's their most gifted, most athletic lineman, and has a chance to be the guy with the brightest future out of this whole group. But yeah, you're exactly right, Barry. This should be a group that has a chance to be the strength of this team going forward.
Well, it's a we'll see what we see. It's going to be fun to see the guys running around. You know, the 2018 Oklahoma State season was a little bit of a dud.
Yeah,
Cowboys went 7-6. They lost two or three they could have won, and if you know, if they had have won those games, it would completely have remade the story of the season. And they just winning close games became an issue, but they get to the Liberty Bowl and turn it around and win the close games. And guy that I still think of when I think of the Liberty Bowl, I think of one guy, and that's Colby Peel.
Yeah,
making those plays at the end of the game against Drew Locke. The big knockdown, the big tackle on fourth down. So, you know, Colby Peel will be out there Saturday. I like to see those safeties, Bernard and Rodriguez is hurt,
yep.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, you know, to me, the Liberty Bowl, and Gundy has said this, and I sort of agree with him. Bowl games, for whatever reason, they shouldn't, but they do. Tend to make your off season set the mental state of your off season.
Yeah,
and you know, if the Cowboys lose to Missouri, they're 6-7. It was a totally dud year, bunch of losses you shouldn't have had. But instead, they had a winning year. They reversed the trend of losing close games, won a close games in the Liberty Bowl, and everybody's feeling better. So
and like you said, they come up with a big series on defense to do it. Secure the win. So that, I think, was especially big for the defense as a whole and that group of safeties in general, because it sent them into the offseason feeling good about the direction that they were going, feeling like they could be the guys who step onto the field and make plays to win a game rather than just trying to not lose a game. And I think that was incredibly important for those guys. Jim Knowles has been raving about those guys all spring. Obviously, I don't know how much you'll see, you know, how much it shows in what we see Saturday. But I really think that's going to be the strength of the defense. Linebacker, I think, will be okay. Defensive line is just a question mark, because we really don't know anything about any of these guys. So it's going to be interesting to see what direction that goes. I still got to say, Tom Hutton, though, the punter, is one of the things I'm most excited about.
And you still don't get to talk to him.
No, still a first-year guy at age 29.
What if we petition Gundy for an exception on him? Anybody with an Australian accent gets to talk at all times.
I'm all for it. I would.
I think that's and he's a punter. What? You know, what's
right.
He going to say?
Right, he's not going to.
He doesn't know any. He doesn't even know. He doesn't even know what the game of football is all about.
No, no. It's not an exaggeration, because I talked to him before he came over, after he signed back in December, And he said that he was having to having to learn the game, you know, watching clips on YouTube and watching videos of games to start to understand the rules and the intricacies and all of that. And he said for the most part, I know I just I run out and do my bit, and that's about it. So which to a pretty great extent is true. My favorite part about my conversation with him, he said that there were two things that he was good at in Australian rules football, and that was kicking the ball far and running. And he says he doesn't like running that much, so he's looking forward to his role on the Oklahoma State team as a punter. So now here's what's a completely, we're getting really deep now, but Gundy says that Hutton has been teaching Jake McClure some of the Australian rules techniques, and
really.
And the interesting thing about that is that Jake McClure might have a stronger leg, and Tom Hutton might coach himself right out of a job eventually.
Now, is Hutton a freshman in eligibility?
He is a true freshman, yes. And McClure will be a redshirt sophomore. So we'll see how that goes. But McClure can boom it. That's one thing I know. Now, if he picks up some of the Australian techniques as well, he could be really dangerous down the line. I don't want to see that happen because I want to have excuses to talk to Tom Hutton. But, it could be fun to watch anyway. So that's kind of where we stand going into this. It'll be a different type of a spring day. You know, they got the remember the 10 run early that morning outside Boone Pickens Stadium, and then baseball at 3 o'clock across the street. So. Texas is in town, so it's going to be a busy Saturday in Stillwater overall. Barry, anything? I always do the final segment of the podcast is always the most important thing. I forgot any big things that I forgot today?
No, I think we more than covered it. I hope it's a fun event for the fans. I hope it's a fun event for me. you know, like I said, if I get to watch the pitchers and the catchers, I'll be fine. And I can survive the rest. So I'm just ready. I'm ready for football in August. So
yeah.
August 30, is that when the Cowboys start, or 31st? Or 29th, maybe?
Yeah, I can't remember the exact
date. It's Friday night. I just came from Oregon.
That's right. You're fresh
back.
Spent
4 days in Portland, and I can tell you I saw nothing at all college football related. The city of Portland does not seem excited about the Ducks or the Beavers. But down south... along Interstate 5, the Corvallis-Eugene corridor, probably a little bit more anticipation for the season.
And we'll be up there, but that feels like it's a long ways away. But we'll be there probably before we know it. So, Barry, thank you for joining me. Thanks to Paige and Dave for always taking care of us on the podcast and making it sound good. And thank you for listening to the Cowboy Chronicles.